Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
You know, with so much grim news about coronavirus right now, from skyrocketing infections, record hospitalization rates, escalating case numbers and deaths, all the while trying to homeschool your children, it's very hard to be hopeful and positive right now. We get it, we understand, but how is it possible, I wonder? Or is it at all possible to communicate a message, especially a public health message, that isn't frightening and that isn't hopeless? Well, to discuss this more, I'm joined by Professor Molly Byrne, a professor in health psychology in NUI Galway, and is a member of the Department of Health's COVID-19 Behavioural Advisory Group, who advises NPHET. Now, Professor Molly Byrne, I am waiting to talk to you all evening, I must say, because I find this topic absolutely fascinating, because you're welcome to the programme. Based on the current facts we have, with all the things that I outlined about COVID rates and hospital numbers and so on, how do you configure a message for the public about COVID-19 that isn't frightening?
Well, good evening, Cormac, and I hope I don't disappoint you after that long, anxious wait. So, this is about, my interest is about how we frame public health messaging. And I'm not advocating that we dumb down or that we cover up the seriousness of the situation in which we now find ourselves around COVID cases and our situation in the health services. Mm. However, my issue with the current public health messaging is that it contains some deadly ingredients. And these include a message that the virus is out of control, so that there's nothing we can do about it. Mm-hmm. These are messages which are provoking fear too much in people, so that people turn off, they feel helpless, they become depressed, they become anxious. And these messages are lacking in hope. Whereas what I'm really advocating is that we need to reframe our messaging in this area. And we have done brilliantly in this to date. Communication in Ireland and the general response in Ireland since the start of the pandemic has, on the whole, been very good. So I think what we need to do here is we need to regain some of our sense of solidarity, the message of a shared goal, that we're in it together and we're moving towards this shared goal.
But hang on a second, though, because in one sense, we have lost the idea that we're in it together, and I grant you that. But doesn't the likes of Paul Reid, when he's on the airwaves, or Dr. Tony Holohan, the Chief Medical Officer, or the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, or any of the main players, don't they have to give us all the really hard message that it is really prevalent, that hospital numbers are really high, that ICU beds are finite, that we don't have an infinite resource in terms of hospital ICU beds, and that people need to hear the frightening message in order for them to act appropriately?
I mean, people need to hear the truth. They need to be told what the current situation is accurately. However, I would suggest, Cormac, that with each of those messages around how serious and how deadly things are at the minute, these need to be combined with reinforcing the message that we all have control over this. The outcome of this is in our hands. So we need to regain that willingness that has been there all along from the public to adhere to the public health guidance. So since the outset of the pandemic, the Department of Health has been conducting an AMARAC public opinion tracker survey, in which we've been monitoring levels of support for the restrictions and levels of adherence to the restrictions. And I suppose the bit that rarely gets into the news, you know, we hear about people being fined and breaking restrictions here and there. But the bit that rarely gets into the news is the really high percentage of people who are consistently adhering to the guidelines. I mean, it's not very newsworthy, or, you know, person sits at home and watches TV.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose it's reframing and giving out those messages that actually the vast majority of people are adhering. And I would challenge you a little bit, Cormac, in saying that we no longer think we're not in this together. And I think there still is a sense of solidarity there. But what
can you explain to me then what happened in the run-up to Christmas from a behavioural psychology point of view? Because it seems that there was an awful lot of socialising. It seems mm-hmm. that an awful lot of people, they must have broke the guidelines. That's mm-hmm. me surmising. But what happened then?
So I think in the run-up to Christmas, we eased the restrictions too much, too soon. I think that's uncontroversial and clear now. I think the government, in easing the restrictions, took a gamble. I think it didn't pay off, and I think we are now in the situation in which we're in. And, of course, we have to learn from the past, and throughout this pandemic, we need to learn all the time from our response to inform our future response.
Yeah.
But I think
that coupled, that coupled with the fact that you think that am I right in saying that you think the government is using too much fear in their public messaging as well, and that people are not acting accordingly then?
I think that's right. I mean, I think there is maybe an understanding among some that if you just scare people enough, they will do as they're told. Whereas we really know from evidence and psychology and economics that these are actually counterproductive approaches. If you scare people too much and remove their sense of control, they are less likely actually to adhere to the guidance because they turn off, they switch off, they're willing to take more risks. They feel, oh, sure, it's all lost now anyway. I won't bother doing any of these challenging things, which we all really need to do at this time.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about the vaccine? And it's not long since we had news of the vaccine being on the way and now the vaccinations have started. How has that changed people's psychology and behaviour?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really interesting one. And I suppose as a behavioural scientist, my first message would be that the vaccination is really one tool in the whole toolbox of the public health response. I would also then say that while, of course, we have the science of the vaccines coming out, which is incredibly positive and hopeful, for a vaccination campaign to be effective, what we're really ultimately doing is looking at people's behaviour. So the behaviour of people being vaccinated, mm-hmm. coming to vaccination, is a behaviour. So we cannot lose our emphasis on the importance of bringing people along and supporting their public health behaviour. So that's the vaccination behaviour, but also not losing sight of the ongoing importance of these other behaviours, such as physical distancing, such as washing our hands, yeah. self-isolating and wearing masks. So these remain very important behaviours.
Can I ask you, I have less than a minute left, but I need to ask you about resilience, because in terms of behaviour and psychology in this lockdown, people are finding it hard to stay within the 5K and so on. Is resilience a finite commodity in a person? And can it be renewed, I suppose, is the question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that the real headline story, in a way, I think, in the aftermath of the pandemic, will be how incredibly resilient people were. I mean, if we think back ourselves to, you know, 11 months ago, would any of us have thought that we would have been able to get through what we've got through?
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of debate and discussion at the start of the pandemic that there was going to be, you know, pandemic fatigue, and there was no way people would still keep doing all of these restrictions. However, what we've seen is actually people are willing and able. They don't like them, but if they are supported properly, people are willing to stay on board and they're willing to do these challenging behaviours. If they're supported and if they feel that it's part of a strategy which they trust.
Okay. Well, look, I must say it has been fascinating to talk to you. I wish we had more time. Professor Molly Byrne, thank you very much indeed.